Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Haw. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Porter again. Got it! Otto Porter Jr. on fire with a topside 18-footer, and he's poured in 37 on the night.
And the Bulls advance around forecourt, and this ball game is over.
From what I heard, you know, so we wanted to get this one before going into break. Use this win as momentum coming out of break.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's always fun to hear from Otto Porter Jr. He is the star of the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah.
He seems like the star of stars. And
we talked about him like he's been here forever.
He had 37 points, a career high on 16 of 20 shooting.
Former Bear.
No, that's not right. But here's the question, David, and this is what you're left with. And it's an unfortunate question to ask. But it's very obvious when you look around the league, you know that Cleveland and New York and the Suns are tanking. They're not going to win that game. They are not good enough to win that game, you could argue. But the Bulls, by virtue of going out and making a deal and dipping into next year's free agency early, whatever way you want to look at it, they have made a deal where they've got a player who can go off for 37 points and win a game. And if that happens, you got to ask yourself if that was a good trade. If you're going to tank, if you're going to lose anyway, don't you have to lose? Why would you want to turn around your fortunes before the All-Star break when you are, you know, it wasn't long ago where they were sitting in that bottom three and now they're four with a bullet?
Fair question, but there's no guarantee, again, when you're in the final three that you're going to get the number one overall pick. There's only a 12.5% chance. If you're fourth, there's a 14% chance. So there's a 1.5% difference. Now, what you did when you got Otto Porter Jr., and I think it's becoming more evident to us now than it was a week ago when we both were feeling like a little bit of meh over the trade. We didn't love it. We didn't hate it. We understood it. We weren't sure what they were getting. I think they're getting a better player than maybe we anticipated. Maybe
I thought. I was defending that. I thought he was a really good player.
You really liked the player. I wasn't sure about the deal, but I didn't. Again, I was sort of right in the middle. I think what Otto Porter Jr. has done is that he's taken advantage of the early in the early going of the opportunity to prove that maybe he's ready for a bigger role. He's ready for an expanded role, and he's a very efficient player, 16 out of 20. And the bigger problem, and I think this is only a problem in the context of the tanking discussion, but the issue he was asked to describe himself, he said, "I'm a winner." And those are the kind of guys you like to be to include in this culture that you're trying to establish if you're a Bulls team still in the midst of a rebuild. They looked like an NBA offense last night.
Yes, they did.
They looked like with Zach LaVine really being the primary ball handler and multiple guys getting their chance, that looked like what you wanted to by design. And Lauri Markkanen continues to develop. That's the other issue here. If you're goal this season was to develop him into the kind of player you think he can be. He's back on that track after the injury, after the slow start. Do you want to interrupt that progress? And what is that compared to what you get if you are one of the three worst teams in the league?
Well, and the problem, David, is they need that transcendent talent. I don't believe that Otto Porter Jr. is that. I think he's a really nice piece. I think he's a legitimate NBA player, and I think they have a lot of those guys now. They have a team that you could put around that transcendent player, but they do not have the transcendent player.
No, they don't.
The chance of getting that player rests in the draft for the Bulls. Kevin Durant's not coming. It rests in the draft for the Bulls. So you need to figure out a way to be able to get that player out of the draft, and unfortunately, this may have prevented that.
Yeah, but I think that when you look at when you look at the opportunity that is there for Zion Williamson, there's no guarantee again that is Zion Williamson is going to be. You know, you're not going to get him necessarily. So it's not like in past years where you can assure yourself the certainty of getting the guy that you want. And Zion Williamson, again, had the other night with the Duke comeback, the biggest comeback in Mike Krzyzewski's career, that reinforced the idea that this is the guy that you want. He's a clear-cut, to me, number one overall choice. But you could lose every game for the rest of the year if you're the Bulls and still not have a guarantee that you're going to get him.
312-644-6767. We have a lot of people who want to check in. Let's get to the phone lines. We'll start with Tony. He's on the south side. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, with the exception, the NFL, you guys got more experience in covering NFL games and players and everything like that. But you know that the NFL does not want Cap back in the league. Cap can be a great number two quarterback with the exception of playoffs, the teams that made the playoffs and maybe two other teams that didn't. But those other 22 teams, he's a number one. So going to the AAF league, it's not an insult, not anything to do with his pride, anything like that, but he's a proven NFL quarterback. So with that exception there, I just think that it'll be just a waste of his time. And it's nothing that he wants to play, but we all know that the NFL does not want him back in the league, because if he did, those owners, those general managers know the type of player that he is and the type that he can bring, the type of play that he can bring to their team. He's a difference maker. He's a definite difference maker.
I don't disagree with that at all, Tony. I think that he is a difference maker potentially, but it all depends on the alternative. What else are you doing? What else can you do to put yourself in a position to get back into the league if that matters to you? And I think the side of the argument we presented was that, you put something on tape. And it has been a long time since he's taken his last NFL snap. It has been a long time where rust will be there. It'll be obvious that he hasn't played in a long time, so why not knock off some of that rust playing against some competition that is at least professional? They're getting paid in the AAF. It's not the NFL caliber defenses, but it's going to be something that tells you kind of where he is and maybe where he isn't. So that's a football discussion. So,
name a guy. I defy you to name a guy that took 3 years off and was still a good player. You don't see it.
You don't.
It's very difficult to do.
We also don't see a quarterback that gets to a Super Bowl who's out of the league 4 years later very often either.
But I'm not arguing any of that, Kevin. And I agree that the reason he's out of the league is the protest. I'm not arguing that either. But here is a guy who got to a Super Bowl. What year was that? And his skills diminished over a couple of seasons after that, and now it's been 3 years, three full seasons since he's played. We're talking about a guy who, how many years removed from a Super Bowl is he? It is a long time ago now. And to think that he's going to be that player, whether it's Jim Harbaugh coaching him or that's the voice in his head or whatever it is, you're talking about a guy. Look at the decline in his numbers to where he was when he left the league and how long he's been out.
And that's what the point is here. This is the football scenario. This is not anything else other than that. Because
right.
From a football perspective, you need a preseason before you go into a season. This would be in a de facto preseason to his training camp. But I don't know that this is going to happen. I just think it's interesting to consider given where we are with the AAF and what it can do for people. And when you hear Steve's, Spurrier kind of tempt Tim Tebow to come
right
back to football, you're like, well, what other ex-quarterback who played at a very high level would be, a possibility for this league that wants to get some attention and gain ratings and get some legitimacy?
There are, at least initially, eyes on this league,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm talking about NFL people are watching it, right? They're considering whether or not it'll be a feeder system, and everybody wants that to happen in the AAF. My God.
Yeah.
They're not shy about
talking. The Chargers are sending a scout.
That's right.
To this weekend's game. How many teams will follow suit in a copycat league?
Well, I think many.
You got to.
Yes. And so it is an opportunity for someone. But again, I think part of this is that Kaepernick has an ongoing lawsuit where he's trying to get back in the NFL, and I don't know – When is that going to be resolved? When is that lawsuit is coming up fairly quickly here, I believe. So then you'll have some form of resolution and you'll see what you have. But and you're right, David. He didn't want to be behind a guy like Russell Wilson because he never thought he'd get on the field.
Right.
And he turned down a $1 million offer there. So and that's what they're going to use in the lawsuit, by the way, as evidence that that teams have wanted him and that he just wasn't willing to take the offer. I don't know. I'll be very curious to see what happens in that lawsuit. I have felt all along that he's definitely blackballed, that this is definitely a situation where the protest is something that teams are afraid of. And
social justice warrior.
Yeah, he is a social justice warrior, but he's not a snowflake because he's remaining out and putting up with it. But I think it does become an issue from a football standpoint. Of a guy not playing for, how many seasons is it? Kevin, do you have
He's going to be
what
rusty.
Year was he in the Super
He's
Bowl?
He's going to be rusty. There's no question about that. And I think that's why this is a, it's like a
it's
life
It's like starting
scrimmage.
Over. It's I mean, like it's been a over. Long yeah. time
for
since
a 31-year-old
played.
Quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, by the
there's
way.
Plenty of success stories in the league.
He was in the Super Bowl, during the 2013 season.
That's a long time
and
ago.
And then he did fall off the table considerably. I mean, yeah, everybody could have seen that.
Yep.
But look who was coaching. How much of the NFL is about who's calling the plays, who's drawing up the schemes, and who is, making the players better. He had Jim Tom Sula as his head coach during that time, not exactly an offensive innovator. See what, McVay or Nagy could do with him.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that, but, I mean, just being honest, Kevin, would they want him or would they want some guy, young guy coming out of college that they felt they could mold? And it's just
somebody
it's a
they
different
drafted.
Type of ask.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all.
It definitely
31
is.
31 years old is different.
You're
than
not going to get a whiz kid offensive coordinator who's getting a head coaching job for the first time, risking his career on Colin Kaepernick.
All right, 312-644-6767. We'll get to all your calls. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit. Mullion Hall on the Score.
So apparently, Manny Machado left black and white with gloves. What do you think of that color scheme?
I like the color scheme of black and white. Is he signing with the Raiders?
Kenny would be thrilled.
Well, that's absolutely right. Look, we try to be disciplined in terms of our focus. We try not to spend too much time trolling around Instagram looking for clues. Certainly don't want to spend any time negotiating through the media or talking about where things sit publicly until there's some finality. So for now, I think, like you, I'll probably from time to time get a glimpse of something on Instagram, but unless there's a Twitter report from WetButt23, I'll probably just stay quiet on it. Took a great deal of self-control not to say the other one. So.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
WetButt23?
Yeah.
That's a... There was WetButt23, the source of the Quintana trade?
I believe that's accurate.
Unless there's a Twitter report from WetButt23, yeah. I'll probably just stay quiet.
Broke the Quintana trade in 2017.
It was, WetButt23 and then one that maybe we got to be careful Katy Perry and a part of her anatomy.
Okay, did WetButt23 ever reveal his or her identity, Kevin?
No, he's living in the shadows, he or she.
That could be you.
Kevbo?
Yeah. Could be Kevin.
Never know.
Hmm.
But never know. It's not.
Okay.
312-644-6767.
Good memory, Rick Hahn. Yeah. I hadn't forgotten about that name from the Sox lexicon there.
Maybe that was a little too revealing. Maybe WetButt23 outed himself yesterday in Arizona. He'd know. Let's try.
Took a great deal of self-control not to say the other one.
Rick is in Aurora. Hey, Rick.
Good morning, Rick.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First of all, thanks a lot for giving us little Cracker Jack sports announcers the opportunity to voice our opinion. But Machado, I'm a diehard Cub fan. Machado, he doesn't want to play here. And you know what? If I'm a Sox fan or a Cub fan or a baseball fan, I don't want to see a guy trot to first base just because that's the best contract I was able to get. Harsh, but, you know, if he wanted to sign and play here, he would have done it. It would have been the deal would have been a deal breaker. He would have been here. The Cubs, they've been talking about this broadcasting thing for, what, 3-4 years now? I guess we're just going to have to see. I know I'm going to pay for it. I'm just waiting to hear what it's going to cost me and continue the tradition. And Colin Kaepernick, I mean, you know, the guy belongs in the league. All I really have to say on that is sometimes whether they're in broadcasting or they're in entertainment of sort, they take the podium with their job and they try to bring something to light. And, you know, he was protest. I don't even remember what he was protesting anymore. What was it? Police brutality or something like that?
Yes. Yeah, that's
and you
pretty
know,
significant thing to protest there, Rick.
Oh, it's a great thing. Oh, it's a phenomenal thing to protest. But you know what? Doing it on national television and protesting the national anthem, which, you know, probably gets disrespect with, you know, people leaving their hats on and not bringing their hand up to their heart. And these guys, they could make a phone call and be on a national television show and given 15, 20 minutes, a half hour to discuss, you know, what they could do to help support that. And, but, you know, great protest, but I just don't think that, that's the right place, the right time. And certainly with what he can do, in the limelight, I mean, create something. And I think he just needs to come out. The National Football League needs to give him an opportunity. He, you know, the guy did what he believes in. Did he go about it the right way? I don't believe in what he did was the right way, but he certainly does not need to be punished and removed from the National Football League.
Thanks, Rick.
Right. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
A lot there. Yeah.
Got to unpack a lot of that.
Let's go to
Matt. Who's in River North.
Morning, Matt.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning, fellas. You know, the Manny Machado thing, you had a guy on, Bruce Levine had a guy on, saying that the White Sox aren't even in his top three, and then on MLB Network, they were talking about how he should take, or he will take less money to play for the Yankees because he knows the Yankees are going to win every year.
Right.
And about Moncada, how many times has that kid been benched for not hustling?
But don't you think that Manny Machado wants to get paid? Isn't that what it is? And if the best offer he gets is at 35th?
But the marketing money in New York and being in the World Series or in the playoffs every year, I mean, if the money's not that much different.
Yeah, but he's not going to New York. He's not going to the Yankees. That's not going to happen. They, you know, the reason all the Vegas odds have shifted is because the Yankees apparently are not involved. And they are not going to pay him.
Absolutely. And you can cherry pick the predictions because John Morosi was on this station yesterday predicting he'd go to the White Sox. Pedro Gomez on ESPN 1000 the other day predicting he would go to the White Sox. There's other guys out there predicting he will go to the White Sox.
A lot of people are making that prediction. White Butt 23 hasn't checked in yet, but I'm sure if he did.
Yeah.
It would be the White Sox. There. It was very strange because I think when it became clear that the Yankees were not the team, then all the odds shifted to the White Sox. But there's been no increase in the offer. There's been nothing. There's been no movement at all other than training camp beginning, which is another kind of imaginary deadline for when guys want to be in and sign. The White Sox are just waiting on him, and the White Sox are bright enough not to negotiate against themselves. So I would imagine, or I would hope, that when he finally gets an offer that he feels like he can sign, he will go to the White Sox, say, hey, this is the offer. Can you better this one? And then either they step up or they don't.
Yeah, I am not going to make the leap that we've heard a few people make already this morning that because he's not signed by the White Sox means he does not want to play in Chicago. I don't think that that's necessarily the point. This is a negotiation.
Exactly.
And this is a professional sports. And again, regardless of his desire to play in whatever city he desires to play in, you have to let this play out before you make any sort of conclusion like that. So I don't look at Manny Machado being still, you know, unsigned by the Sox as a sign of, boy, he must really not like something about the White Sox organization at all.
No, I really don't believe it has anything to do with the White Sox. I think it has everything to do with with the money and where he's going to get up. He's waiting for the right deal. And then when he sees what he wants to see, they can go back to the White Sox and try to get more money, or he can bite the bullet and go ahead and move on.
Jay and Alonso have to be so sick of all of this.
Oh, my God.
Like, I mean, they're standing there being nice yesterday, but
with the empty locker. Some point, I mean, and who the hell's not going to ask him? I mean, don't you have to ask that question, Joe? And I'm sure
it
would drive anyone nuts.
See, this is not my business. This is your business. When you guys were writers, and David still is, obviously, in that situation, do your editors say, well, you need to keep writing about Manny Machado? I mean, that's all anybody's talking about with the Sox.
Well, I think that's part of it, Joe. I think you definitely it's inevitable. It's unavoidable. It'd be kind of almost negligent not to try to address it on a daily basis, because you never know if that's the day you don't ask if something happened.
Right.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. KC Johnson is the basketball man from the Chicago Tribune. KC, good morning. How are you?
Hey, KC.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Very excited, because the Bulls are in the playoff hunt. I think they proved that yesterday. I think everybody knows it. And wait a minute. They're really too good now, aren't they? They're not going to be able to tank in the fashion in which people imagine, because Otto Porter Jr. is what we like to call a dead-eye shooter.
I like to call him a basketball player, but either way, your point stands. Your point stands. Yeah, lock into that four seed, baby. Here we go. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I do see them finishing fourth if you're asking for a prediction.
Yeah, and I think that we need to clarify that. I might have misspoken earlier. The top three teams each have a 14% chance, and if you're fourth, it's 12.5% chance. So that's 1.5% difference. Significant, yeah. Is it going to be the difference between, you know, who knows? That's a math problem. But I think, KC, when you watched the Bulls last night, I saw a team offensively that looked like an NBA team, that looked like everything was functioning in the way that it's supposed to function. Can one guy make that big of a difference?
Well, it's not. He does make a big difference. They're 2-2 since they got him. Their offense has played well in three of the four games. They've scored over 120 points in three of the four games since he's been here. But you also have to look at the way Lauri Markkanen is playing, and I don't care what you say about the tank, which obviously is, you know, important, because you know Zion Williamson is there, but the way Lowry's playing is incredibly encouraging for the Bulls. He is just he's playing at a different level than he even played at the end of last season. He's rebounding the ball, he's bringing it up, he's making plays, he's taking guys off the bounce. He's playing aggressively at both ends. I mean, the other night he took a charge from Giannis and really didn't back down much from that matchup. When he was matched up upon him, he might have lost the matchup, but there's no shame in that, because Giannis is, you know, top 3-4 player in the NBA. So Otto Porter Jr. has certainly helped. He's a veteran. He knows how to play. You can play him in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places on the court. He helps you defensively. But to me, Lauri Markkanen's playing at a different level. And also, I don't think Zach LaVine's getting enough credit for the way he's playmaking of late. He's had five straight games with seven or more assists, or five or more assists, seven last night. So, you know, there's some encouraging signs, for the Bulls right now.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. Otto Porter Jr. is an NBA player. He's a real good NBA player. He's a guy that fits in. They, as you said, they've shifted the position of need by bringing him in. And the rest of these teams, I mean, the Knicks, they've lost like 18 in a row, 19
it's unbelievable,
in a row.
Man.
And the Suns are right there, 15 in a row. They're a game apart. It's going to be hard for one. It's going to be hard for the Suns to catch the Knicks if we're looking in reverse order, no? It's just going to be impossible. The Bulls, with 14 wins, seem like they are, I don't know, 10 games up on the Knicks, who won't win another one if they have.
And they play the Knicks a lot down the stretch, including twice in the last three games of the season, I think. I don't have it in front of me, but three or four games of the season. Yeah, you know, there's some separation between the Bulls and Atlanta as far as 4-5. And we will it will be interesting to see how the Bulls approach things coming out of the All-Star break. I mean, there's only 24 games left. You know, they're right now, they're playing a second unit of, you know, at times with Otto Porter at five and four guys who belong in the G League. So it's not like they can do much more.
Right.
But it will be interesting to see how, like, they play the Chandler Hutchison injury, which is legitimate, and they're going to be very careful with that. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they play the Robin Lopez situation.
He had 25 points. He doesn't belong on the court. I thought we decided high. He had to sit yeah. down.
Yeah.
NBA.
Yeah, he's no. playing very well for them. So those will be things we'll be monitoring, obviously, coming out of the break.
Casey, good hustle getting Mark Bartlestein on the record, talking about the Bobby Portis trade and what he told Bobby Portis and how that might have been, you know, misconstrued by Bobby as a guarantee that he was going to be staying in Chicago for the long term. And then the trade happened and Bobby Portis tells Hoop Hype magazine that he was not happy with the way things, or maybe the Bulls were suggested a little disingenuous. What was your takeaway from the article from Portis? Because he's kind of been all over the map. Are we going to hear more of this, or is this going to simmer down now?
I think it's going to simmer down. I mean, I don't know that Bobby was upset by the whole thing too, because in that same article, he did praise the Bulls pretty profusely, which he did here with us on Saturday in Chicago when he was here with the Wizards. You know, he talked about how it's a first-class organization and he's got nothing bad to say about anybody. He just basically related his take of how the trade went down. The one line that jumps out is, you know, he just didn't like how it went down, you know, so that's the one that jumps out. But Bobby was upset that article created some fuss. I mean, he clapped back at me on Twitter about it, so you could tell he was upset about it. You know, Bobby, look, I was told that night Bobby ran into the Bulls locker room. I put this in my story and joined like the 1-2-3 Bulls huddle afterward. I mean, which was a pretty neat moment. So he's got a lot of love still for people here. You know, it did create a little fun buzz just because there is such a perception problem with the Bulls right now around the league. To ask, you know, Jim Boylan and other people if the Bulls feel they have a problem with how guys exit here. I mean, there have been several examples over the years of guys kind of leaving in messy fashion. Now, a lot of those people, once they get removed from it, realize that playing in Chicago is not that bad. I mean, the Bulls have a great practice facility. They treat their players pretty well. So, you know, Bobby would be another example of someone who recognized that because he's talked about the Bulls being a first-rate organization.
Yeah, I think they do have a perception problem, whether it's...
there's no question.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to fight, frankly. I don't know, you know, once that kind of gets out there, it's very difficult to change that. And so immediately when, you know, we had people here, you know, immediately when there's anything, it's like, oh, Gar Foreman was lying again. It doesn't seem like there's any sort of what would you call it, giving them a benefit of the doubt. It doesn't seem like that exists anymore for some reason.
No doubt. But I know for a fact that Bobby was upset that resulted from that interview. So he was pretty upset that perception, that he contributed to that perception, because he cares deeply about the Bulls and felt that the Bulls treated him very well. I mean, he it's clear that he still wants to be here. I mean,
yeah.
He's very emotional about being traded and, you know, made it clear that he wanted to be here long term. So, but he was I know for a fact that he was upset that people read things into that article that maybe he didn't quite mean. I mean, you can't dispute that's one inference you can take from reading that article, but he was upset that was created.
So, KC, totally unfair take, but the offense functioned really well last night. Chris Dunn didn't play. Coincidence or not?
Well, it's not too unfair of a take, because we were talking about it on Press Row during the game. I mean, you know, look, Ryan Arcidiacono is what he is. He's a very limited NBA player. But you can't tell me that offense, now it has played well other games that, that Dunn has played, but the way Ryan plays, he is a threat at the three-point line. His assist-to-turnover ratio is one of the best in the league. He organizes the group offensively. I mean, we were even joking, like, you know, do you start Ryan down the stretch and bring Chris Dunn off the bench?
The right people get the ball. That's
exactly. That's much more well said than the sleep-deprived Heat writer. The right people get the ball. Thank you. And look, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but do you try the trial balloon of bringing Chris Dunn off the bench over these last few games down the stretch, since you're probably going to be trying to upgrade the point guard position in the offseason? I mean, I think that would be a tough sell, but it just looked much more efficient last night, there's no doubt.
I think he'd operate better with the second team. I think that it would give him a lot more responsibility maybe on the floor, and maybe it'd help his game a little bit. I don't know. Listen, if you're evaluating him, if the magnifying glass is on him, it's been a lot of look away, frankly.
Yeah, and also what we were talking about is that it might be beneficial for him to play that against that second unit over these last few games. It's not going to happen. You still have 24 games where you can look at Dunn, Levine, and Markkanen. Frankly, I've seen enough. I just feel like there are long stretches where Dunn and Markkanen play very well together. There are long stretches where Levine and Markkanen play together. I haven't seen enough times where Dunn, Levine, and Markkanen. There's that Indiana overtime loss where all three of them played lights out, but for the most part, to me, the chemistry lacks with those three.
Before we let you go, KC, we haven't talked to you since the Bulls played the Bucks the other night. I just wondered, with the addition of Nico, and you look at the way the teams in the Eastern Conference improved at the trade deadline, I mean, everybody at the top seemed to get better. Are the Bucks, in your mind, the best team in the East?
They are. It's going to be an amazing East playoffs, which we haven't been able to say for a while. I mean, you obviously have, to me, legitimately four teams that can come out between the Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, and Raptors. I just love the way the Bucks share the ball offensively. Defensively, they take that end very seriously. They've got toughness. Now, obviously, it's a big jump because they haven't been that far, and particularly this group hasn't been this far, because they made some additions in the offseason. But I thought the Mirotić pickup was just lights out for them. Completely fantastic fit. Miko's been in the playoffs. He's got a toughness and an edge to him that's really going to help them. And he'll obviously be a floor spacer to help Giannis, because that's basically where the Bucks had a great series with the Celtics last year, and that's basically where it flamed out for them, is that just the games slow down and they're more half-court oriented, and teams just were able to swarm Giannis defensively. But I think with the amount of floor spacing they have, with Nico, Brook Lopez is playing at such a high level, I think Giannis is going to have a big playoffs, and I do think they're going to come out of the East. But I think it's going to be just an amazing, even go to the second round, much less the conference final. I think it's going to be a really fun playoffs in the East.
Great stuff, KC. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Enjoy the break.
That's KC Johnson, the fine basketball man from the Chicago Tribune. There are 14 teams in the NBA lottery, and there are 1,001 lottery balls that will be bouncing around, and they mix them up for 10 seconds and grab one. And here's hoping, buddy. Here's hoping that the Bulls, I mean, again, if they're in the first three, they got a 14% chance of getting the first overall. And if they're fourth, it's 12.5. If it's fifth, it's 10. It keeps dropping.
And they are unlikely to catch the Hawks.
I don't know. They're only four games behind the Hawks, right?
Yeah, but there's 24 or so to play. That seems to be. I think
they're 500 right now with
Knicks
the new
versus Hawks tonight. By the way, so
that's a game with meaning in Chicago.
Yeah. Go Hawks.
Go Trae Young.
I would say go Knicks, but I don't think they can catch the Knicks. I think they're more likely to catch the Hawks than the Knicks.
Probably looking at, you're worried about them staying in fourth place.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at right now. Is that ridiculous? Well, I no longer think they can lose enough to drop, because I think the Suns are the worst team in the Western Conference by a mile, and I don't see them being able to do anything. They've lost a couple in a row. 15 in a row? 15 in a row.
That's awful.
Okay.
And I didn't watch last night's game and thought the Bulls are headed toward awful.
And the Knicks have only won 10 games.
Yeah.
So the idea that they're going to,
They're more
and
likely
you play them,
to,
so you
to elevate
them. Yeah.
Their status and then go
that's
down.
That's why I'm on a Knicks loss tonight, just to keep that fourth spot going.
12.5%, baby. 12.5%.
Boy, life has changed. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.